Just a little note about the connection between the gospel and the passage from Isaiah. It's a good example of Matthew's creativity in that he wants to make the point to the Jews of his own day that Jesus was the fulfillment of all things Jewish, and the people who did not accept Jesus were inauthentic Jews. And so he does this routine thing where it becomes formulaic, thus were fulfilled the words of the prophet. And in this case, of course, he takes this line from Isaiah about a young woman, that the technical term is not virgin, but in Hebrew is Alma, young woman. And Matthew creatively turned that into virgin, the Greek word parthenos. So it's just to show you what's going on. And that because the prophets were not into predicting business, basically. But Matthew seconded them to that effect. Okay, so there you are. About 30 years ago, when I was in the last parish I was stationed at in the States, a woman whom I knew very well, she and I were talking, and she said something to me that I have never forgotten. I found it so striking. She and George had been married for 25 years at this point. They're still married, by the way. And she said to me, "It is a terrible shock to wake up one morning to find the person with you in bed is a stranger to you." And he was not a stranger. I was the same man she'd been married to, that she had multiple kids with. And what was going on? George hadn't changed. But Nancy suddenly became aware that she really didn't know George all that well. Even after all those years of familiarity. And then this morning I was wakened by my radio alarm by a child psychologist being interviewed about the behavior of children. How they're recalcitrant and don't obey and are noisy and create all kinds of misdemeanors. And there's a connection between these things, because I think as kids we all learn what could be called the habit of concealment from our parents, first of all. And I don't think it's ever a habit that we walk out from under. And as I said, what Nancy came to was an awareness that she knew she did not know. And that's a great advance. What has this to do with Advent? Okay, if Advent, as I've been suggesting the last few weeks, is the time when the kingdom of God is really established, when God sends Jesus back to do justice on the earth, and we human beings can stand naked and unashamed with each other, before each other. Well, that's what Advent's about. The hope that in time God will act so that we really will, as one of the lines of scripture puts it, know even as we are known. That's an amazing, I've always been struck by that line. We will know as we are known. Known by whom? By God. That God will illumine us so that we will finally come to know who we really are, because, as that great Merton prayer has, that we don't know who we are, really. We very much like to pretend we do. And as I said, the habit of concealment originated very early in our lives, I think. And so we go through life at least half blind, I think, not knowing ourselves. Total ignorance, of course, but it's fairly massive, I think. And not knowing each other, and therefore not really letting ourselves be known by each other. for justice to exist, there has to be truth. Hmm? The truth of who we are. And that what we hope for with the coming of this man Jesus, who apparently did not hide who he was and did let people be who they were, that level of truth is the very foundation of justice. We will be able to see yet another angle on this business of our being created in the image of God. Our own lovability. I think that lovability is largely hidden from ourselves even. But it is there. It is the image of God. God cannot be said to love something that is unlovable. But God does love us as we are, warts and all. So what I've been trying to do during Lent for myself is talk about the provisionality of things, the provisionality of the church, for example. The church doesn't know what it is either. We pretend a lot. As an institution, we pretend a lot to be virtuous and complete and perfect, but we're not. As a society, we'd like to say we live justly on this planet. We don't. Not really. The billions of people who are unknown to us, ignored by us, really are to constitute with us the human family. And finally, in the most personal and intimate way, we don't know who we are. And therefore, we cannot really fully give ourselves to each other or receive each other because we are in this fog. You know, to take the title of that wonderful English mystical text, the cloud of unknowing. We live within the cloud of unknowing. But the whole spring driving Advent is this hope that we will know. We will know even as we are known. And not just ourselves, but everybody else. And therefore we can begin to see not only our own lovability, but the lovability of everybody else, even if they smell bad, they have bad teeth, they have bad hair, they're invisible for us in so many ways. That's what we're called to. It's a pretty glorious prospect.